This is the Michael K. Show.
I know a lot of people, including Michael especially, have been waiting with bated breath for my review of Tiger Woods documentary.
Why do you just invite people to turn the show off? Who cares about the Tiger Woods?
On a Monday, really, the holiest of days, too, right?
I mean, we're dying for stuff. All the joking aside, is there one iota, one cell in your body that cares about the Tiger Woods documentary?
Don't ask me.
Well, why would you ask Don?
Ask me. Not one. We'll be back. I've got some baseball news that people care
about. Oh, yeah, they care about that more.
Michael's lost me.
Let me pin you right up against the wall with my hand in your throat.
People care
more about the Yankees possibly getting Luis Castillo or your Tiger Woods documentary?
I saw Twitter last night. Everybody was thinking it was the Luis Castillo that dropped the ball 10 years ago. So there's the answer.
The Michael K. Show.
Are you coming down on the side of Tiger, Don?
Yes.
Yes!
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what I have to deal with. Anyway, now it gets light and bright on the show again because we bring in the Hall of Famer, the great Steve Young. Steve, how are you today?
Michael, great. How are you?
Good. Now, this is the first time we've spoken to you since the Jets hired Robert Saleh. You've seen his defenses. What do you think about the hire?
You know, as I told you last week, I'm not a fan of defensive coordinators in the league today, but I will say Robert's seen Kyle up close. He has lived, watched how you deal with quarterbacks, and I think it matters a lot. I saw Pete Carroll come through the 49ers organization and be different afterwards on how he dealt with quarterbacks and offense. So Robert's going to be a tremendous leader, that's for sure. And so if a guy can, from a defensive coordinator perspective, lead a team and then understand offense, I love the fact that he's been here in San Francisco with Kyle, seen it, ingested it, knows what it's going to take, knows what it's supposed to look like, and then he can find that offensive coordinator that can take care of a quarterback. So I'm, again, with the caveat that I'm not a fan of defensive coordinators in general, I think this is probably best case scenario.
We still wait for Bieniemy to get a job, Steve. Is that on him? Is there something about him that scares owners off? Or is it just the fact that for the third consecutive year, you've got to wait deep into January to get a chance to get him a second interview?
Maybe so, but if coming out of Andy Reid's tree is 80% grapefruit, you're going to find somebody that's going to be really good. And if everybody's touting him and Andy's touting him, it's hard to say that there's something that like secret that nobody knows. It's odd to me that Eric's not been, I gotta believe that the day that the season's over, that someone will grab him. Now, maybe they can't wait. There is a lot of pressure and you don't want to have the music stop and you don't have somebody. So that is difficult, Don, to be sitting there for a month waiting to fill your head coaching job on the hope that you can land the guy. So there's no question that the Chiefs going deep is a problem for him getting the job, but you'd think that somebody would come early, make it kind of a handshake. We got it sealed and done and you're our guy. And that seems like the way that I would do it if I could, so that you could make sure that you weren't left with the music stops playing. And you don't have a guy in your seat.
Now, the noise regarding Deshaun Watson is getting louder and louder, and Adam Schefter reporting today that it looks like it could be broken beyond repair. So that would lead you to believe that the Texans might have to trade this guy. Is there any line in the sand, if you're a team that wants a quarterback, that you would draw and say, well, we can't give up this?
Well, at some point, you saw when Mike Ditka did the Saints thing with
Ricky Williams, yeah.
With Williams. So, yeah, there's you can leverage your whole team and make a foolish, but within range, no. Here's a guy that, for the 2020s NFL we've talked about every week, this is your guy. This is one of five guys that are going to show up in the 2020s that can be the best. And he's already proven it on what he can do with very little help. Very little help from the management, very little help from coaching, like let alone when he can get somebody that really can, boost and augment. And I just know. And I don't care who's in college that's coming out. It's still so tough to know. And so I think people should chase him really hard. And I told you the Texans should leave the NFL if they let him go, and now it looks like it might happen. I just I can't fathom it.
Now, I just want to make sure you – I think you said this last week. So if you were Urban Meyer and the Jaguars, you would trade Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. I think that there's that much of a risk of somebody not quite sure exactly how they're going to handle everything. And, like, it's the 2020s. It is so – there are so many yards to be gotten by a quarterback, and they can safely be gotten by really great athletes. And so someone said, well, you know, what happened to Patrick Mahomes? There's no question that the job is still has some danger to it, but to me, there are so many free yards, free first downs, free touchdowns in the 2020s, well, I'll say college plus NFL, that you get a guy like Deshaun Watson who proven that he can do it from the pocket, proven that he can get out and make things happen. It's hard for me to say that there's anybody coming out of college who has not played a down of pro football that would beat out Deshaun Watson.
Well, there was not enough free yardage and touchdowns in open field yesterday for Drew Brees. Is it just over? Is the arm just not there anymore?
It just feels like everyone's saying that from their side. Like, it just feels like listening to Drew, listening to Sean, listening to just the sense of things that, you know, my instinct after watching the game and then watching post game and watching everything and listening, that this was already set. Like, I'm going to come back for one last, you know, rodeo, and then we'll see where we go. Now, when you get beat and you throw three picks and, you know, kind of, you know, no other way to put it, you know, it's on the quarterback. Sometimes that has a way of, like, changing your whole life. So I think everything is that this was his last chance, the last effort, and now it's time to take the Monday Night Football booth mm-hmm. and move on.
Now, he was obviously exposed in these obvious passing situations, but I think if Cook holds on to that football and doesn't fumble and they score a touchdown to go up 14, I think
no
the Saints
question.
Win.
Yep. Yeah, because I think the same issue is going to happen to Tom on the other side. See, he didn't have to he let that devolve in front of him, and then he just had to kind of play it out, right? And it was very smart of him. I mean, I think both of them were doing that. Like, I don't know if you noticed in the game, it's like neither of these guys is really trying to, like, go in and, you know, just run the table. They're kind of very careful, very methodical, no mistakes. And then when Drew made his mistake and when the fumble came, then it was like, oh, there's my opening to just kind of take advantage. But nobody blew up yesterday as far as, you know, on the aggressive side. So it felt like both guys were kind of, you know, coasting in to make sure. And then one guy made more mistakes and it cost the game.
I will tell you this, though. We mentioned this earlier. Some of the passes that Brady made, I mean, they were perfect. I mean, they were right on the hands
yep.
of receivers.
They
he doesn't seem like he's lost much.
And no, he hasn't. And so I that's a good point. But I still don't think that it was like you know, a thrower's ball game,
right?
It was really a carefully scripted ball game. But I agree with you, Michael. It is he has maintained. Like, I always said that he has his right arm has an extra couple of inches in his fingers because the ball, the way he is so accurate, because it comes out and it's like as if his fingers lengthen, and I always said accuracy comes out of the fingertips. You can tell a really super accurate quarterback by that last little bit that comes out of his arm, that his fingertips kind of hang there a little bit longer to guide the football. And he's always had that smooth end of release that some guys kind of arm it, and he is all fingertips. And it's still there. The flexibility and all the stuff that you have to try to maintain is still there. There's no question.
Now maybe I'm getting giddy, so rein me in if I am. So he supposedly wanted to play two more years. Why only two? I mean, he could play for a long time like this. You said it. They protect quarterbacks. Why wouldn't he play longer?
I think both Drew and Tom and Aaron and Peyton and anyone who is playing today who knows what they're, you know, they've been out around a long time. Phillip Rivers, like, why would play? It's a safe game. Like, it's so much better. It's so much more for quarterbacks. We talk about every week the rules, the negotiation between players and management with less time with defenders to get more sophisticated. Like, I'm the king, and I'm even my throne is elevating without me doing anything. So why would I ever leave? And I think that's how they feel about it. That's how I would feel about it. If I was playing today, I would just, like, no way am I leaving. And I can extend, and it's been proven. I can be 43. There's no way that Tom has the legs, but as long as you know, and that's why you make the comment about the arm. Once the arm goes, it gets tough. That's what happened to Peyton with the shoulder, and that's when it just goes right into the ground. But you get a sense that with Drew, maybe that's when it goes in the ground. But Tom, because he hasn't shown that, there's nothing else that you need. You don't need the legs. You know, as long as you're kind of can hang around in the pocket and use your incredible years of knowledge and expertise, no question about that, Michael. There's no reason. I mean, did Blandon went to 45, right?
And, 46, I think.
And looked 70.
Yeah. Right. And looked 70, let alone how Tom is doing it. So if Tom wants to, it does get – the thing that I've always been amazed about Tom, because me at 38 years old, I remember my last year, the coach is yelling at something and you're kind of – you just feel odd. It's like it's a young man's game emotionally in some ways. It's kind of – you feel like you grow out of it. And the fact that Tom is still energized by some of these goofball conversations that happen in football in the young man's game, I admire him for it.
Now, if you're Patrick Mahomes, are you saying, Coach, are we going to – we can't continue to run these design runs. This is the second time that we've seen him get banged up like this, and this could – potentially cost them a shot at the Super Bowl.
But in the end, you're not the game. How do we put it? There's 3 yards, and that's where the quarterback has to be the smart one. The quarterback has to find where the journey's over. I think you've got to lean in. Aaron Rodgers this weekend has got to lean in, and the difference in the game should be Aaron's mobility versus Tom's immobility. Because of the yards that are out there, the first downs, and the extra touchdown or two in a close ball game, Aaron Rodgers can go get that. So you got to go get it.
So you don't have a problem with them running design runs for Mahomes?
That's what I'm saying, Peter. You're saying, look, in general, it's all contextual. There are moments when it's like, look, let's try to limit it. Let's be careful. But I think the game today, there's too much free stuff that you've got to put the quarterback as the 11th guy out of the huddle that'll carry the football. You have to do it or else you're a fool. So then, yeah, but you're a fool to put him at risk. I get that. But I think that the odds of a quarterback getting hurt, a smart guy who doesn't put himself in a bad spot, there's just too much positive stuff that's free. Again, it's free, Peter. It's not – there's not a cost. And so if there's a slight cost, it's very worth paying. Now, when he gets hurt, you're like, you're an idiot, Young. You don't know what you're talking about. Look, in the 2020s, this is the game today. Do not kid yourself. And if you're not going to go get him, if you're going to have a quarterback – that can't go get those, you're already starting 7 points down. And that's just how where we are today in the NFL. And that's how good Tom is. He makes up for those 7 points by his expertise in other places.
The Higgins fumble out of the end zone, I'd love to see the league change that rule. Why award the defense the ball? They didn't recover it. Can't you just make it a touchback and the offense keeps the ball and just put it at the 20?
That's funny you just said that. Don, that's exactly how I thought. How would you – what should, okay, Mr. Big, because I was saying the same thing yesterday. It's like, this is stupid. This is just egregious. It doesn't relate. And it's almost like pass interference down, 50 yards down in a jump ball. Those are stupid penalties that we've got to figure out how to handle. Like, college does a good job of that because the game doesn't turn on some goofball interference penalty. It should be a 50-yard penalty and move on. So this one is another one that kind of just needs to get fixed. And it's like, well, how would you fix it? And that's the first thought I thought of is you retain possession because they didn't recover it, but then you got to go back to the 20. And that kind of makes sense to me. It goes through the end zone. You got to go back to the 20.
Now, if you've seen high school basketball, there are coaches that go, no. When a kid takes a shot and then he goes, yes, good. So that a lot of that was the play by Andy Reid on fourth down. Was that a smart play or should he have punted the ball?
Michael, come on. We've talked about this 1,000 times. I think if you have the play that you like and it's in the situation that you like, because people always say, Steve, what do you think of Moneyball? What do you think about baseball uses Moneyball and uses the chart and tells you what the odds are? And what do you think about that in football? And I think, look, give me all the information you can. But if I'm making my decision based on a chart in football, you're an idiot. There's no way. The context, the number of human beings involved, it's too fluid, and you have to have a gut feeling for the play you have at the moment. And so what I loved about it is that he told this, Chad Henne, look, run the clock down. I want to use all the time, so put the pressure on him. Act like, and then now we have one play, a little sprint option to Tyreek Hill, and he's got to come open. But you know that they're not going to – he'll come open. You know it. So if you know it, then it's not crazy. Now, if he doesn't come open, he slips, somehow the guy gets a hold of him. Sometimes, you know, they drop the ball. Henny throws it in the ground. Yep. But if, to me, if you have a play specific to them, to the moment that you like, you got to call that. That's when you take that risk, because I got a play I know I love. And clearly that was a play they loved, and so that's not foolish.
Yeah, but you would think that plays that they run, they must love, and some plays just don't work. What if he dropped the ball? Then you gave them a 48-yard field.
But look what happened. Over.
Right.
Done. Cooked. Finished. Not even – you don't even get it. You don't get to even touch it. Like, that isn't – think about that. That game, because, again, they were going to punt, and now what do you have? You have – I think it was a full minute?
Yep.
No timeouts. Yeah. To go create some kind of chaos and lose a football game. Would I rather have Tyreek Hill on a play that I love, and the idea that that a quarterback, that a veteran quarterback that I believe can throw a flat route and complete a pass and end the game? And it's exactly what happened. So
when you were watching, again, what Tony Romo was saying. He thought that they didn't have a play. You thought they had a play.
Well, because not only everyone thought, because it was a backup quarterback,
right?
That you. But see, I don't have the context for the backup quarterback. Now, the fact that it was a veteran backup quarterback and a guy that Andy already had shown, look, I'm not just tucking tail and hiding and putting my head in the sand. The fact that he'd already done that, you should have put into your mind, there's going to be a play. If they like it, they're going to call it. Now, it's still shocked. I think it's still a shock, but you got to step back. And once I explain it, hopefully you say, yeah, that's what Andy's thinking. I got a play I know I like. And I can end it here. Let's end it.
Let's assume.
What are you giving up? 30 yards. 30 yards. You're 30 yards of offense. If you punt it, right?
Right.
You know, average 30 yards of offense. You got to go get in under a minute is two plays. So that's another 20 seconds. So, you know, to me, the fact that they ended it right there was really something.
Assuming Mahomes plays, how much of a chance do you give Buffalo to go into Kansas City and win?
I think Buffalo's one of those teams that has, and Josh has been the, you know, representative of this, has gotten better and better and better. So the team that you think Buffalo was even a month ago, 2 months ago, is not the Buffalo team you see today. And so the idea that they have a quarterback that can go get all the yards, do all the things we've talked about, can make the big plays, doesn't seem to be prone to, you know, the three interception end the playoffs like yesterday with Drew. It feels like without that happening, and it's just heads up, quality play on both sides, yes, they're a team that can go beat the Chiefs. It's tough. And if Patrick is full strength, super tough, because Patrick he's never out of it, ever, no matter what you do. It's tough to beat the Chiefs. But, yes, the Bills are a team today. Maybe I wouldn't have said this 2 months ago, that they've grown into that role. I think mostly about Josh. What is he capable of doing on the road in a big playoff game? And it feels like he's on the cusp of doing something really great.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, how does Tom Brady at 43 go into 20-degree Lambeau and beat the Packers? What does he have to do?
I don't think it's a big deal with the weather, as long as it's the wind. The wind is the issue. If it's super windy, then it gets super tough. I mean, I tip my cap to Eli Manning, who went into one of the most brutal situations, was it 15 years ago? And there's some guys that just thrive in those elements, and Eli was one of those guys. Tom, as long as the wind's not blowing too much, they're going to play a solid football game. I don't think he's going to make big mistakes. And it really becomes about the Superman cape that Aaron Rodgers has on, and he's had it on all year. I think that Packers are average football team, which is good, but they're could possible a Super Bowl team. with Aaron Rodgers, and that's how good he has been this season. So if he's got the Superman cape on, there's no, I don't know if Tom can stop that.
Is it fair to say that Sean Payton and Drew Brees in their tenure together underachieved because they just won one Super Bowl?
You got to put it in context. I mean, Super Bowls are not simple. And Tom and Bill kind of, you know, expanded on that beyond anyone's, you know, you can't argue it, Don. He was like, that's an easy one at the bar, you know, you win every argument. Like, right. Yeah. But in context, taking the Saints, who were an abused, victimized team, franchise, fan base, you know, somewhat like the Lions or the Bengals or even the Jets in some ways, and the two of them changed that forever. They're now a powerhouse in the NFL. And what Bill Walsh always said, look, the goal is to get into the playoffs, make base camp. And then every year we just assault the summit. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And certainly the guys that get it should be honored for it. But the fact that you set up, to Bill Walsh's perspective, if I'm setting up base camp in the playoffs every year, I'm doing my job. And now we assault the summit. So in that way, and I don't want to play, you know, I don't want to take anything away from championships because they all matter, and they all championships have a way of sifting things out. But as far as underachieved, when you're in base camp every year attacking the summit, it feels hard to just. I know what you're saying, Don, but I can't. I'm not at the bar with you. There's something much more important there going on.
But it is kind of unbelievable, though. There's a 5-year stretch where in 4 of the years, Steve, they were 7-9, the Saints.
I know.
Are you so talking that about wasn't base camp. The they underachieved.
Well, I'm just talking about a team that had systemically underachieved forever.
Right.
Like what they've accomplished together. Which think of a team that has had that happen. That you didn't change it for a year like the Bucks did with John Gruden or two, but you changed it for a generation and changed the way you look at the Saints. That's like someone doing that with the Lions or the Bengals or like through a generation. Fine, we can argue about it. They underachieved because they didn't win Super Bowls. I get it.
All right, everything equal, but building full. What's a tougher place to play, Lambeau or Arrowhead?
Lambeau's not that tough, especially with no fans. I mean,
there's some fans.
It's just the wind.
There are plenty of fans in Kansas City, I'll tell you that.
I know, but still, it's not enough to really. I mean, it's the intensity. It's the emotion that you feel from 50, 60, 70,000 people. Some of the guys have talked about it this year that it's been hard to really play without that sense of urgency that you get from 70,000 people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If everything's equal and both buildings are full, as a quarterback in the NFL, where's the toughest place to play?
The toughest is the noise. Lambeau does not have the noise. It just doesn't. Arrowhead has the noise. It was the loudest outdoor stadium before Seattle got fired up, and it was always tough. Especially Derek Thomas coming over the edge.
Here's what I don't understand, Steve. You dismissed the 20-degree weather. Like, if it's like 10 degrees out and I have to walk from my house to the mailbox, I can't do it. I'm freezing. How can you stay out there for 3 hours and function under those conditions? How can any quarterback function?
I know it's weird. It seems crazy when you're sitting in your living room, but adrenaline and you adapt. And you're next to they've got the heaters going, so you're never just frozen. Right. And the ball today, remember, the ball today is exactly how the quarterback wants it. The leather is perfect. You can get a good grip on the football, and it really is it's the wind. If it's 10 degrees and windy, if it's 30, if it's 25 degrees and really windy, it's tough. The wind is the problem. Snow, if you tell me it's 32 degrees and snowing with not much wind, no problem. Even 20 degrees and snowing, no wind, no problem. Now, blizzard, that's a whole other problem. I went up during a blizzard once, the lowest attendance in Lambeau history. Look it up. Tampa Bay, 1986, against the only way you got to the game was cross-country skis and snowmobiles. They had like 10,000 people that kind of hoofed it in. But so there's cold and then there's trouble. Cold is not Now, minus five, a championship game in Chicago one year when it was literally the temperature was minus five, it's a problem. No question.
Why, your hands are numb? Your fingers are numb?
Yeah, then the heaters and everything else, it's just, it gets so that you can't feel anything. So it's all about, for quarterback, it's the hand, right? Can I get my hand on the ball? And can I make them see like I'm telling you, the leather today that they get those balls broken into at 5 degrees, as long as it's not windy, you get a hand on the ball is going to come out how you want, and you can make some throws. And that's what you really care about. And the temperature, you'll figure out a way to stay warm. It's the part of the adrenaline. So again, watch for the wind. That'll be the key.
I'll tell you what, the more we talk to you and hear stories like this, really football players are just a different breed. I mean, you just have different DNA than the rest of us. It's not many people can do that.
But remember, Michael, it's like, I always think about Indy car racers, the Indianapolis 500. They're 250 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to those guys and you're like, dude, I go 120 on the highway just for fun, just to see what happens. And you're like, whoa, slow it down. You know, mm-hmm. Those guys are doubling those speeds and have inches away from each other. And you're like, how? It's because they have been doing it since they were little. And it becomes normal to you. It becomes, you're conditioned. It's a part of who you are. And so football, that becomes, you're in the elements and you're used. Now, some guys never played in the cold. And it does freak you out if you've never played in the cold. But I, you know, went to school in Utah and grew up in the Northeast, and it's just part of the game. So it's not like it's that. It's just that we started at a very young age playing in the weather and the cold and as a quarterback. Now, I'm telling you, the biggest issue is the fact that they, in 2006, Tom and Peyton got the league to agree that the quarterbacks could run the footballs. That changed everything. Now you get the leather just like the NBA. You get it just how you want it. Now you're not afraid of anything. Before that, I remember Troy Aikman and I, we're like, the wind and the rain and the cold weather, like the new football gets broken out with the NFL with the orange preservative on it, and your hand is orange in the first few throws because the preservative's falling off and it's slick as like, it's like oil that they put on it. That's when you can't sleep at night before. Forget about the cold. Forget about the wind. Forget about Lambeau. Forget about the fans. I can't grab the football.
Yeah, but those footballs ended up getting perfect Tommy suspended for 4 games.
You can go wherever you want with that. But I'm just telling you, in 2006, the life of a quarterback changed forever.
And those were the two guys that got it done?
They got it done because, well, I found out later that John Elway, we would go to Paul Tagliabue and every year we're like, Troy and I, we would go, look, we want just, well, who cares? We're throwing them. What do you care whether there's no integrity issue. There's no competitive integrity. I'm throwing the footballs. Let me throw them the way I like them. And well, and then we found out that John Elway was in the background. Well, I like the new balls. Don't change it. Don't change it.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, man. That's, by the way, that's rumor. I have never confirmed that with John, but that was the rumor that John. But then finally, Peyton and Tom just said, "No more. We're not doing this." And they finally got the league to switch it because the league's been always super hyper worried about competitive integrity, right? And so it felt like giving the quarterbacks the chance to have the footballs the way they want could give them some advantage, and it does compared to a new football. Go to Dick's Sporting Good, buy an NFL ball. They're all the same. They got the preservative on. Pump it up and go throw it, and watch your hand turn orange, and think how slippery it is. It's like it's a piece of ice. So anyway, what I could have been, boys. What?
Great. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll talk.
I hate how I sound like, oh, in the old days, blah, blah. I just hate
that's
that.
That's great. I love it.
You can take it however you want. You can
absolutely
take it however you want.
Good stuff, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
That's awesome.
All right.
So John Elway in the back room. Oh, I like these. All right. Yeah. When we come back, a new giveaway. You've got to stay tuned for this. Oh, yeah. This is exciting stuff. And it ties us with the greatest morning show on in New York. Sports, okay, Peter? Greatest sports morning show on in New York. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.